Dear God, we have heard your word read. Help us to apply these words to our own lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I'm sure most of you know me by now, but I'm Mary Carney. I'm a retired vicar, and I live in Whitney, and it's always a huge pleasure to be here with you in your beautiful church, such a friendly congregation, and even the flowers are absolutely gorgeous, so it's good to be with you. And talking about things that are gorgeous, I've got two questions for you, and I'm going to see if you can answer them. Question number one, when are you in heaven? And question number two, what's it like? So two questions, when are you in heaven and what's it like? And I'm going to ask you to turn to someone nearish and share your ideas just for a moment or two. Well, I could just go home now, because I can see lots of you are already, you know, set for the morning. But and of course, there are lots and lots of pictures of heaven in the Bible. But let's have some of yours first of all. Any volunteers? Anybody willing to tell me when are you in heaven and what's it like? Go on. Who's brave? Yes. Go on.
I have said as a teacher and as a musician,
right? Ah, so that's wonderful, and I don't think I can sum that up better than you have, but there's somehow something to do with music and something to do with communication, or without words, but a sense of being together and with a common purpose, perhaps. I was trying to think, when each of you came up with something, if I could fit it in with a biblical picture. That's not quite so easy. I think there are definitely harps and psalms and spiritual songs, but let's have another idea, a different one. Something quite different. Yes?
Walking on the hills in good weather.
Right. Walking on the hills in good weather. Now then, that's a picture. Well, the Bible begins in a garden, the Garden of Eden. And there are lots of pictures of the lakeside and so on, which sound very beautiful. But a garden is where we think of God dwelling. And yes, hills. I'm sure there are hills in gardens as well. And anyone else? Yes? Well, that's beautiful. Thank you. And I think I might as well go home now because you've summed up the sermon. You know, creation and nature. Thank you very much. I'll be coming back to that a bit later on. Thank you. Thank you, all of you. And I'm sure you'll all have lots of different ideas. And I'll just throw out one or two that come into the Bible. We've had the countryside. Nobody's mentioned a banquet, but, you know, a big family feast. And there are, again, pictures of banquets in heaven. I'm very fond of the sea, but in the book of Revelation, we're told very firmly, there will be no more sea. So I'm rather disappointed about that. The city of gold, also in the book of Revelation, and so on. Now, there are lots of others. I've got a list here. My grandson, one of my grandsons, is an Arsenal supporter. Do we have any Arsenal supporters here today? Nobody's admitting to be an Arsenal supporter. Well, yeah, oh, we have. Sorry, can't see behind the pillar. Yes, well, he was certainly in heaven yesterday, probably still today. And I have to say that the whole thing was very bad for my blood pressure, but an exciting game. In our Gospel reading, we have one of the many pictures of heaven. And it may be familiar as one which is often used at funerals. And they are very comforting verses. So let's just take a look. Jesus is, it's the Last Supper. It's the night before Jesus died. And Jesus is trying to explain what is about to happen and to teach his disciples about his true nature, both aspects, both the human and the divine. So let me just get the Bible. John chapter 14, verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. So essentially Jesus is saying, don't worry, trust me. And then he says, in my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. There are plenty of rooms in heaven. Rooms, many and various, something to suit everyone. I expect you've heard, this is a sort of corny old story which preachers, you know, wheel out from time to time, about St. Peter showing a new arrival around heaven. And there are all these different wonderful houses around the place, and there's lively singing coming from one of them. And Peter says, we've got to tiptoe around this one. And the new arrival says, oh, why is that? And he says, well, they're the charismatics. They think they're the only ones here. Now, you can stick in any denomination instead of charismatic. You would put in Orthodox or Catholic or American Baptist, whatever you like. The same is true. Every denomination believes that they're the chosen ones. And we will be surprised at the people we meet in heaven. Now then Jesus goes on to say, I'm going on ahead of you to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. Jesus makes us a promise. I'm going on ahead to get a place ready just for you. But again, don't worry. I'm not abandoning you. I'll return to fetch you so that we can be together. It's very comforting, isn't it? And there is a tradition in the Middle East of a guide called a dragoman, and the dragoman accompanies the traveller on the journey, but also goes on ahead to make sure that there are comfortable rooms awaiting at the destination. We don't quite have a dragoman now, unless you're very rich, I suppose, or the Queen or somebody like that. But we do have the sat-nav. I am very good at getting lost. So good that in the end, my three children clubbed together to buy me a sat-nav. It is a guide, mostly, and a comforting, I have to say, it's a comforting presence in my car. It's reassuring. Mostly. We like to have the guide which knows the way. But then Jesus says in verse 4, you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas is indignant. Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we possibly know the way? It's a very human response. Thomas wants a map. He wants clear directions. He wants a to-do list. But Jesus' response, as so often, is not about doing, it's rather, it is about being. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Which I think ties up with your comment over here. It's only by immersing ourselves totally in Jesus that we come to know God. Philip is not satisfied. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. Jesus is disappointed. Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing the work. Believe me, when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves." Now, these are mind-blowing, earth-shattering claims. Jesus stands in front of them, a man, a creature of flesh and blood, but he is saying that he is the human face of God. Almighty God. And furthermore, that Almighty God is Jesus' Heavenly Father. They are totally at one. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. The human words that Jesus speaks are the divine words of Almighty God. It's very difficult for us really to grasp this. It's something that we reach out to. And then Jesus says, you know, being practical, "Do you want evidence? All right, you have it. You have seen the works that I have done. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. What's more, if you believe and trust in me, you will be enabled to do even more than I have, because I am limiting myself. I am returning to God the Father." So the ball is in our court, and my goodness, it is a big responsibility. What exactly does it mean to trust in Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life? Well, we could debate this for weeks, months, years. Ultimate, what is ultimate meaning? Ultimate authenticity, ultimate authority. Well, let's start with what it doesn't mean. I don't believe that saying Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, I don't believe that that means that Hindus and Muslims and Jews are excluded from gazing on the face of God. In John 10:16, Jesus said, "There are other sheep that I have that are not of this fold." I remember a very holy man saying once, "There are those who know Jesus who do not know his name." In fact, in some respects, I'd go even further. There are those who may know more of Jesus than we do. Someone mentioned the stewardship of creation. Perhaps Buddhists know more of God's will in that respect. When it comes to prayer and fasting, perhaps we could learn from Islam. And the Jews can teach us a lot about family and community. And maybe there are respects in which other faiths know more about God's will, and that means Christ's will, than we do. We need to be humble. However, the advantage that we have over other faiths is that for us, the way, the truth, and the life is personified in the teaching and the holiness, the love and compassion, the life, the death, and the resurrection of the person of Jesus Christ. It is easier for us Christians because we can gaze on the face of God by gazing on the face of Jesus. So let's go back to where we started. With our glimpses of heaven, often this is experienced through the senses, through music, through the countryside, through art, through poetry, through drama or film. Or maybe it is experienced through the relationship of others. Those with whom we feel we have a bond, those we love the most. Let's finish with Stephen. In our reading from Acts, Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven. Stephen saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at God's right hand. For Stephen, heaven is a vision of God's glory. May we enjoy that same vision. Dear God, we thank you for the glimpses of heaven that you grant us. Help us to walk and talk with you so that that vision is our constant companion. Amen.